We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Joe, I'm guessing the Heat's house is going to be jumping
when this thing comes back home, huh? Man, what a great win.
Scene.
You know what? That's why, that's what part of what makes, I always go back after all these years, what makes sports great is what happened last night, really. I mean, you just look and they look so bad. And what was it, at the end of third quarter, it was a 30-something point game. It was bad. I mean, it was...
So you weren't here the week of the play-in tournament. You missed a few days,
Joe.
And we had people that would text in and, you know, that were adamant about, let's just lose this game. There's no reason to play the Celtics.
Yeah. No.
And we were like, hey, man, you got to at least, at the very least, roll the dice, right? And that was after you knew Jimmy was not going to play, right? But you got to roll the dice. You never know what happens. And, you know, now there's has to be significant doubt in the minds of those Celtic players.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's still a very talented team, but they just looked out of sync last night. Let's just say I thought Spo had it over Joe last night in coaching.
Look, the Heat may lose this series, but either way, this is fun, man. That was fun to do that to those guys last night.
You know, we were trying to figure out, and we were saying Bam had to have a big game, and Tyler had to have a big game. They both did. But the Caleb Martin, and then you look at starting five, man. All five guys in double digits, and Jokic quietly is getting better and better. Jaime is, he's 4 of 13 last night, but 3 of 6 on three-point shots and hit some big ones, man. He had 14 points, and I'm not taking away from the bench. The bench also, I think, had six threes on the bench, but starting five were really good last night, really, really good, and Tyler Herro made some adjustments, as we've been talking about, to his game and patience, getting the ball to open shooters. They made extra passes last night to give somebody else a better look at a three. I didn't feel like they forced shots last night. And then on the other end, Celtics looked like they just were going one-on-one. And then they double them, and they make a late pass, and the clock was running down, and they throw up some wild-ass shot, and so, boy, it was just great stuff. Whatever happened in that time, that little bit of time between games one and two, I just feel like those guys go, all right, Spo, we got our ass kicked. What do you have for us, coach, in this one, right? I don't think that goes on every team, but it's like, Spo, what can we do here? I mean, help us. You've been doing this a long time. You've been in these situations. And, boy, great, great stuff. One of the best playoff wins. Considering no Jimmy Butler, Rozier's out, you know, don't forget about him, but no Jimmy Butler, and on the road against the best record in the NBA in the regular season, the number one seed overall, and they get a 10-point win last night. And I don't know about you, but I thought at times when that thing cut to 5 or 6 points, I said, oh no, it was a great effort, but can they hold on? And, you know, oh, no, I was waiting for Boston to come back and make it a one-point game or take the lead. It didn't happen. Did not happen in that game. Hey,
by the way, Joe, really quick, I respect a lot of people coming clean this morning here on the
We do have people coming clean.
Yeah, hey, man, I'm one of those guys. I said, you know, the other day? Tyler Herro's very good. He's not an all-star, whatever. I said last night, he puts up three more of these games. You can crown him however you want, man. He does three more of these, and he
wins
this series.
You can say he's worth every dollar you're paying him. That's what you say. That's what you say.
Hey, by the way, speaking of money, if Caleb Martin only played the Celtics, that he would have to pay him $200 million. It'd be like a supermax contract if he only played the Celtics.
He went.
It's amazing how he turns it on, isn't it?
Yeah, but he went to the basket hard.
Yeah, he did.
I had a shot. He actually got fouled. They didn't give him the shot.
Oh, they're never going to give him a call. Are you kidding?
But I got to tell you, man, I guess he got booed throughout the game.
Yeah, he did.
Like, all of a sudden, like, he had the dirtiest play in the history of Celtics basketball.
Good, man. Good.
Last night.
Mix it up a little with those guys. What's the problem? It's a little playoff basketball, man.
I want to say this to you. And I said, I think the two best rivalries we've had in recent years are going on right now with Tampa Bay and the Panthers, who got after it in game two. And the Heat and Celtics have been playing each other, it seems like, every year now. Really, really good series. I mean, they've been fun to watch. And that win last night ranks right up there as the best I can remember. Best playoff win on the road without your star player. And to get a win like that was really, really impressive. I don't know where it ranks for everybody else, but that was
Jimmy Butler,
good stuff.
By the way, Joe. Jimmy, I know he can't play, but he should just suit up for the next game and just sit on the bench and just stare at Boston.
Yeah.
Did you see what he posted last night, by the way, on Instagram?
Yeah, I saw that he took
Don't Let
a
Us
little
Get
shot.
One, and he put his face over Jaylen Brown's.
Yeah, Jaylen Brown.
Can he just dress? I mean, just maybe like a little bit of warm-ups or whatever, just to scare the crap out of those guys?
I will tell you, the Celtics don't win this series.
Oh, my God.
There's going to be two guys, no matter what, short of those guys going for 50 a night, people are going to look at Tatum and Brown and go, my God.
Joe, those guys go for 60 a night. It's not going to matter. If they lose this series, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, that was last night, man. I don't want to take away from, of course, tonight's big stuff. For team's going to get better, man. People are asking me about last year's team versus this year's team, and it really, really comes down to this draft and hitting on some draft picks. And I said this, and it's not a shot at anybody, it's just a fact. We need some guys on this team not to develop in year two or year three. This is about right now, man. We need right now players. We need a right now draft. We need to have some guys, whether Chris turns it, the first round pick into two twos and a three, or, you know, they get aggressive with draft picks and maybe, you know, trade a draft pick for next year for something right now. The way you do it is we got to have some guys in this draft class, like we did last year, like a running back we had last year, Achan. We need to have some guys that can come in and help you right away. We need that. And I want to hear rookie free agents. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. We'll have one or two rookie free agents make the team and be a nice little story. That's great. But I'm talking about the impact of the first, second, round picks, and if that turns into an extra pick, that's where we need guys to come in and really help. If you want to call them starters, but, you know, rotation players, but guys that are playing a lot, and I don't mean on special teams. I'm talking about playing a lot on offense and defense, whether it's an offensive lineman, whether it's a defensive tackle, whether it's a pass rusher, whether it's a safety, whether it's a wide receiver, because it might be. And I stand by this. Wide receiver is not one of my biggest needs on this team. And I know we need another wide receiver. I get it for what they want to do. But the other three positions, pretty clear cut, and even safety is, for me, is ahead of the wide receiver position. But we'll see. We'll see what the Miami Dolphins are thinking tonight and what kind of offers Chris Greer gets and whether he says, okay, that's enough. We're jumping out of this 21st pick. And we'll go into the second round or later in the first round if it's one of those teams that's madly in love with a tackle or maybe, you know, tackle or wide receiver that's sitting there at that point. And
let me ask you a question about this, Joe. So what would you – if you have – let's say you keep that 21st pick, right? What position do you feel comfortable addressing later in the draft? Like, do you feel like there's more offensive line depth that you can get after? Because there's a couple of receivers. There's an LSU receiver, by the way, who may or may not be there when you draft. The second, not the top guy, the second guy at LSU. He's 6'4". Kind of fits that need, that big receiver that you're looking for, right?
Yeah, I understand all that.
So, but my question is, and that's Brian Thomas, by the way, is the guy's name. But my question is, what do you feel more comfortable addressing later in the draft?
Wide receiver.
Okay.
You just answer for me. Now listen, I just want all you to be consistent here because everybody talks about all the coaches' speed and what did it get us in the end of the season and, you know. So I just want everybody to be consistent here, man.
But don't you believe the receiver position has, you know, the importance of that position perhaps has increased?
No, but how much more production can you get? I mean, we're getting more production out of one and two.
Just go back to the last few games, man.
So you want to know where we need to get more production? And I'm not taking away from the third wide receiver. I get it, especially knowing that the two guys on the outside could get hurt and miss some games. It just happens. We need more production out of tight end. We were the least productive team in the NFL at tight end. We did not have a touchdown catch from a tight end.
But isn't that their thing, though, that it's like really not a big part of that offense?
Mike has seen where it has been a big part in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah?
So I thought, you know, some things you copy and bring with you. And he did. And by the moves they made in free agency, it looks to me like they brought in some pass receivers that are tight ends, that they're looking to make that where Mike has looked and said, we got to get more production at that position. I don't know. But there are some people who want extra wide receiver, you know, and I just think we have other needs that are a lot more important right now. And whatever order you want to go, defensive tackle, I think we still need another starting young offensive lineman. And maybe ahead of all of them, because I don't know how healthy the two guys on the outside are as a pass rusher.
I guess it's just me being naive, Joe, but thinking that we can just find ways to plug the offensive line because they kind of did it last year.
No, we plugged it, but then people are saying it wasn't good enough.
Well, I think it was okay.
Year.
I look at you had a lack of production on offense, right? That was the reason you lost the last basically three games. Right? The defense kept you in there. You certainly had your chances, but there's just an overall lack of production on offense, right?
Well, they didn't keep us in against Baltimore, but
okay. It was overall, it was a lack of production on the offensive side of the football, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, again, for me and
so you want to add another wide receiver is going to make all the difference in the world for...
I want to add guys that can put points on the board. And you address the offensive line however you address it.
So...
I just think there are a couple of guys at the front of this thing in the first round that are these receivers, Joe, that could end up being really, really good.
I know, but you only got one football.
I really value that position, line's important or whatever, but.
So the third wide receiver hasn't exactly in the first 2 years, and I know they may not be as good as the guy you're going to get in the first round. So, but you can only throw to one guy at a time, right? And we know Tyreek Hill is going to get. He's going to be a top four or five target guy in the NFL. He is, and he's going to be it again this year. And Jaylen Waddle, if he's healthy, he's going to get a lot of targets too. Between those two guys, you could be looking at 300 targets. And I'm not exaggerating. 170-something for one guy and 120-something for the other guy if they play every game. I just don't know how much the third guy's going to get in this offense. It hasn't been very much. A third wide receiver's not had big numbers in the first 2 years Mike's been here, like the tight end, because so much of your offense is around, you know, one of the best 1-2 punches in the NFL on the outside, and I get it. You get the ball to your best guys.
Wouldn't it be ideal to take a little bit off Tyreek Hill's plate?
Oh, no.
I know he wants to go for 2,000 and all that good stuff.
He wants to feed the beast, man.
It obviously caught up to him last season. He was banged up at the end of the year.
Maybe Mike's saying that. Maybe Mike's saying, hey.
It's a lot on his plate, man. I mean, he is the focal point every single week. He's drawing the best coverage. Like, if you had another guy to really help spread that out. I just think you got to take a little bit off Tyreek's plate.
But Woody, this like everybody else team, it's not there's other needs. I think you need more than a third wide receiver. That's pretty.
And
much
by the
what
way, teams started to cover you differently at the end of the year. They were not allowing Tyreek Hill to get past the safeties anymore, as I'm sure you noticed. The one touchdown he had against Kansas City was an underthrown ball. He backtracked to get it.
Yeah, but those are the kind of plays he makes.
Oh, I know, but I'm just saying they clearly, at the end of that season, they were not going to allow Tyreek Hill to beat them deep.
Well, you had a banged-up Jaylen Waddle on the other side.
Yeah.
Who, you know.
But everyone's going to be banged up by the end of the year. That's why if you can get another body in there, another elite talent,
okay,
I think it really helps you. I figure, you know, just
I
maybe
just
again,
saying,
maybe it's just me being naive and being a ball watcher.
No.
But
you're entitled like everybody else, going to have a different take today.
Like if they take an offensive lineman with 21, I'm not going to jump off my couch and cheer.
Well, how about this? And I'm not taking shots at anybody from last year, but these are facts. Armstead and Wynn missed a lot of games, and that's probably going to be your starting left tackle and left guard. So, and they've had a history now of the last 4 or 5 years. Isaiah, since coming to the league, has been injured a lot with New England. And if he's listening right now, he can't be upset. He's got to be nodding his head going, he's right. And Teron has been, you know, Teron's talking about this potentially being his last year, and he missed a lot of games. I think he missed 7 or 8 games last year. We got to get some more tread on the tires. And if there's a quality guy, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, and 9 did a great job on the offensive line so we could keep running most of the offense. But I just think we could use another guy. And honestly, if there's a defensive tackle that can pass rush as well as stop the run a little bit, you got to look at that position too. And the pass rusher, said some people, is more important than all those. They're going, no, Joe. So we got a few needs on this team, and we only got the 1 first-round pick and 1 second-round pick. I'm sure they're going to hit them all at some point in the draft and rookie free agency, but it's really interesting. And Woody, you make some good points. Don't get me wrong.
I don't know if they're good points or not.
No, they are, because
you
need to be able to line a guy. When those guys were out, it did shut. When one or two of them was out and the other guy got keyed on, it started to hurt us in the passing game.
Yeah, nope. I mean, look, Omar, who's on his way in here, he calls me a ball watcher, and I do admit to being that, but I just look at those last few games, and I just think, man, you need something else to help you score some points.
But please do me a favor at the end of the year this year. I don't want to hear that we're not physical enough for cold weather. I don't say that.
That's okay. Not my thing, but I will tell you that just a texter sure sent in. Saying. They said we need a Larry Zonka on this team for the goal line.
We're not very good on 3rd and 1.
Red zone and short yardage and all that good stuff.
That's a good point. They're right. Whoever said that.
That guy was out there, and he went to Baltimore. So,
all right. So, hey, listen, we got to go to break. We got a lot more. So, Woody's in on a wide receiver. Anybody going to join him for that first pick being a wide receiver? That first pick, by the way, might be tomorrow. Just a heads up.
Stop. That
they could trade out of the first round.
Something we can sink our teeth into, Joe. I don't want to hear.
Don't
about
mess
an
up my
lineman.
Draft party tonight. Don't mess up my draft party.
Yeah, they got to pick someone. Just pick. Don't make us wait till 10 o'clock at night and then we find out you trade the pick. Just pick something.
Going to the having drinks and waiting to see, and it's coming up. And yeah, all right,
Dolphins
are
trade.
And
they got
on the
9
clock,
second
and
round
go,
picks. Great.
Oh, it, by the way, it is a real downer when they go. Dolphins are on the clock. There's been a trade, and it is one of the great draft night downers is when your team trades out of the pick.
Trading out sucks. Now trading up has me intrigued too, because there are some good receivers up there.
Yeah, grew a pair right there. Ooh, we really like somebody. All right, hey, we got to go to break because I really like Chev, the CEO of Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing, and you will too. I heard last night it's supposed to be a big, big hurricane season again. And you never know when the big guy's coming. That Category 4 or 5 is headed towards South Florida. We've been lucky lately. But you know you got to get your house prepared because you never know. And Chef saying, the CEO said, hey, Joe, tell them about these specials we have right now because we don't want everybody waiting the last second. Then they're frustrated, can't get a hold of anybody. People are jacking their rates up, and you're like, oh, now we can't afford it. He's making it very affordable right now. Impact Windows and Doors and even a new roof. If you've been thinking about it, Chev's making it very affordable for you. Impact Windows and Roofing, 100% financing, zero down. Impact Windows and Roofing, no interest, no payments for a year. Impact Windows, as low as $6 per month per window installed. I got to pause. Did you hear what I just said? Some of those deals to save you money right now. Roofing materials, if you're going to the roof, they do it all. Tile, shingle, metal flat, whatever it is you're looking for, Chev and his team can do it for you. And more good news, I just want to tell everybody, Loctite's there from start to finish, taking care of all the permits and HOA approval, so you don't have to worry about that. Covering all of South Florida. They're in West Broward, but they cover Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach County, ready to go. Very impressive the way they're set up. And the way they work with some of the best people, best products to make sure you get quality work, and it happens quickly. Call now, 954-500-LOCK, 954-500-LOCK. Loctite, Impact, windows, doors, and roofing, ready to get you taken care of before hurricane season.
All right, before we get back to it here, it is time for a weather report brought to you by the DeMesman and Dover Law from your accident attorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7 at 866-954-MORE. It is 67 degrees at the moment, a 0% chance of rain. And Joe, we just had a 4th-round draft pick walk into the building here.
You know what? I was thinking, you know, I thought, was he a throw-in, a 7th-round pick or no?
Slow combine time.
Very slow combine time.
Based questionable attitude.
Questionable.
That is true.
You know what?
Lacks the dog in it. Doesn't have the dog in him.
Oh, no. I got the dog in me. I bite.
By the way, you know what? That's, yeah, he's got that. They're questioning, you know, certain things about him and checking him out and doing background checks and. Yeah. Had a couple of bad marks on there.
He did that with Marvin Harrison. You see how Marvin Harrison, he doesn't have the dog in him, so he's not going to be the first receiver picked.
We got to stop with Caleb Williams.
Didn't have the dog in him, Joe.
We don't need it, you're not changing things because both those guys are going in the first round.
I don't think Marvin Harrison cares where he goes. I think he doesn't even care. He wants to go to a better team. I mean, he's seen it. He's been there. He probably wants to go to a better team with a better quarterback.
So you know what's funny? And you know how this thing works. It's the higher you get picked, the more signing bonus you get.
Yep.
The guys get it's a low base salary for the first round pick, but mm-hmm. it's a lot of money up front. It's a big signing bonus. But as Dan Marino would be the first to tell you, all those guys, and he was bummed out. I know he was bummed out that he didn't go higher, and all those teams passed on him. And I know the joke was he didn't know who Kenny O'Brien and where's UC Davis, where's that, and the whole thing because all those guys were drafted ahead of him. And it's got to hurt on draft day. But he got the last laugh because he got on a Super Bowl team. he went to a team and went to the Super Bowl the year before.
Yeah.
So that's the good and the bad news, but he obviously lost a lot of signing bonus money.
I'm sure he made up for it with endorsement money when he took the team to
through
the Super
the years,
Bowl.
Of yeah. course. By the end, by the time his career was over, he was the first overall pick because he won every year, every offseason. They'd redo his contract. What do they do that? What do they call that? Not redoing your contract, but where they save money by giving you a big
restructure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Restructuring. Thank you. There. Anyway, so Omar, how you doing, man? I know you're jacked up because you're in early for what might happen tonight, not only with the Miami Dolphins, but the rest of the draft.
This is Christmas Day for me, for Dolphin fans. A lot of work, a lot of study. Coming up with the right strategy for this team and this franchise, like we're the GM, like our job's on the line. But then again, Chris Greer's job's not on the line either, so he's all good. It's a big day, and they got to restock the shelves. I think if you walk out of this draft without getting a steady supply of at least 8 rookies that can come and develop, I'm not like you, Joe. I don't need a guy that can help me absolutely right away, but I need a guy who 4 years from now, I'm going to be giving him a $50 million contract. That to me is the goal. I could settle for 4 Brandon Joneses. I can settle for. I don't need a Christian Wilkins.
Yeah. I disagree on right off the bat. You and I for years now, so everybody knows, have disagreed about how quickly young guys should develop and be ready to play.
We do. I don't need a guy that comes in and immediately is just like busted heads. I don't need a Jarvis Landry. If I had one, it'd be nice. No. But Christian didn't come in here and bust heads immediately. I think Christian got outperformed by Nick Needham his rookie season.
But he was playing.
He was playing. I mean, you just need a guy to play. Okay.
We need a guy that can play knowing he's got upside and you knew Christian at some point was
going to develop. Yeah.
He was going to be good. So, and I say this, and this pisses people off. So I'm just going to say it one more time. I'm just talking firsthand of the draft that I was part of for old Dolphin fans. We drafted Don McNeil in the first round out of Alabama, and the second round pick was a guy named Dwight Dwight Stevenson.
Yeah, you struggle to remember that one, huh?
So those guys, although Dwight was basically second year, I mean, he played a lot his first year, but Don McNeil lined up day one. I couldn't believe, and either can anybody else, how good Don McNeil was when he got here. When he signed his contract and walked on the field, as Steve Barkowski told me in the offseason, we were at Cal, and he was a Cal guy, and we were working out. He goes, freaking Don McNeil is like the best corner in football. And I go, oh, man, thanks for saying it. I can't wait. I'll see him, you know, in workouts here pretty soon. I'll tell him. I said, but, yeah, he's really good. That dude was – so I get really pissed when people try to tell me, like, talk about Don McNeil. Like, Don McNeil, the reverend, as we like to call him, or the minister, he was unbelievable. So I just saw that it can work right away. And I get it. I was looking at the draft, and a lot of guys – to your point, outside the two guys at Houston who came in and were defensive and offensive rookie of the year, which doesn't happen a lot, but we just need guys to come in and be in the rotation right away. And I'm not saying they need to go to a Pro Bowl or anything else, but
give me this
thing about guys developing like your guy Austin Jackson in year four or five, that's not acceptable. That's not good enough.
No, it's that's not good enough. Not for a first round pick. But if that was a third round pick, I'd take it. Fourth round pick, I'd take it. I hear where you're saying. My thing is, you're telling me you're not going to walk away from this draft with a developmental guard, a developmental tackle, a developmental safety, a developmental wide receiver who comes in and starts in year two and be happy with that? You're that's not going to be okay for you.
Javon Holland. Let me give you an example of Javon Holland.
Okay.
We saw how good he was right off the bat, right?
Yes, we did. And still waiting for him to be the superstar of the league. But that's a different subject.
They're talking about redoing his contract.
Yeah, I know. And they want to pay him like a top five safety.
And so. National guys, every time I talk to him, everybody talks about how good Javon Holland is. So
yeah,
so,
I'd love to see it on the field, though. But continue.
So anyway, I want those guys. I don't want the developmental thing. I don't like that word. I like guys that are coming in and playing and get better, but get better next year. We're gonna have guys get hurt. We're gonna have hopefully not 12 or 14 guys or five or six guys or four guys.
Not lose
the
whole interior of your offensive line.
Yeah, or
that would be
whole
nice.
Offense. But we know there's gonna be some injuries. And are you gonna fill them in with old guys that, or are you gonna fill them in? You're gonna have to play some of these young guys.
Yep.
And that means they're going to make some mistakes, but also, you know, there's an upside to them. I don't know how many are going to be on this team. I think you're right. I think they're going to have to fill in and probably be a couple rookie free agents and a lot of draft picks that we're going to need probably on the active roster, not just, you know, the practice squad.
No doubt about it. This is you know, and it's because they've had some fairly weak or thin or it's punishment depleted or trade depleted drafts.
Yes.
From a talent standpoint, in terms of young developmental talent, this team is empty. I think they got about seven players, and I've done done the work and done the project for alldolphins.com. They've got seven young players, 25 and under, that are like real developmental prospects, like actually could be good NFL
players. You
know
why that is? Because they went all friggin' in on last year's team.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean,
I'm just saying they are all in on this year's team too.
Yes, when you have.
By the way, when we come back, I want to ask you that. Speaking of the draft and around the draft and what this is all about, which is making your team better, I want to ask you this question: you think this team? Don't answer. This team's as good as on paper as last year's team. Or is it still too early? Or get your take on that in just a second. But first, people need money. Even on draft day, people, interest rates are higher, high insurance rates, HOA fees, killing everybody. Killing people, especially people retired and watching, you know, your set income every month. You know what you have. And all of a sudden, all these costs are going up. So you know a lot of folks are doing right now, especially in condos? They're running up credit card debt. Oh, God, 28 to 30%. Ouch. And then it just gets out of control. Let Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage relieve some of your money stress that you're going through, going, how long can this last before I'm upside down and living on the streets, man? Get that credit card paid off. Michael Kotze can do it for you. Reverse mortgages, super popular. This is as popular as a reverse mortgage has ever been because of these rates. More popular than ever. And if you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify for the reverse mortgage. And this might just be a home run slam dunk for you to jump into this. And Michael Kotze, one of his specialties, along with everything else, is the reverse mortgage. He does a ton of them, and he can do it for you. Debt consolidation, that's always when people have a lot of equity in their home. Michael Kotze can get it all done for you for whatever the reason you need that money. Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage is doing it. Yeah, really, the guy has no life. He's always working 7 days a week. Call or text him. 30 years of experience right here in South Florida. Knows how to get it done quickly. He's about great service, which means half the time of the big banks. 561-441-2730. That's his cell phone number. You can call or text him. 561-441-2730. Working 7 days a week. You can call him on a Saturday or Sunday. MLS 166254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
And now it's time for Hollywood's headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Woody. What do you have for Omar and myself this
morning? What do I have for Omar? You count too, Joe. Don't worry here.
All right. What do you have for us?
You know, Ryan Garcia, the boxer, a little bit of a strange dude here, right?
Yeah, man. Boy, I was screaming mental illness, man.
Well, he's doing well for himself in the dating department at the very
least.
Good-looking
kid. Yeah, nice-looking kid.
So he's 25, okay?
Yeah.
He's got three kids, two with this first one that he recently divorced, and then one from, like, back in 2019. So that's an older one here. You remember, okay. he announced.
Don't judge him.
I'm not judging him.
Don't judge him.
I'm not judging him.
Two-time divorcee.
I thought he was talking about me for a second.
I'm
about to know where he was going.
It's about to get a little dicier, okay?
Nah, you're not a two-timer, Joe. You're not a two-time loser.
He also announced the divorce with that second lady as he was announcing the birth of the child. So it was like kind of a double, like two birds with one stone thing.
Yeah. It was a throw-in announcement.
So
wait a sec. Are you telling me he said, so excited, I got a brand new baby girl, and oh, by the way, the mother I'm getting ready to divorce.
Something along those lines.
Oh, God, that's brutal.
But he did fly straight to Miami after he beat Devin Haney over the weekend.
Yeah.
And I guess I have to backtrack first, because on April 15th, a few days before his fight, he announced that he was engaged to adult film star Savannah Bond.
Okay.
Now,
all righty.
Okay.
Now we fast forward to Miami,
yeah.
And he has been one day in Miami. He was photographed with social media influencer Alexa Delanos.
Okay,
they were out and about in Miami. Then about a day
is
later,
is she an influencer or a fans only girl? You got to be specific.
Social media influencer.
Okay, all right,
she influences.
You. All right.
And then a day later, he was photographed holding hands with model Grace Boer on a boardwalk in Miami Beach.
Okay.
So between the 15th and what is now the 21st, he has announced an engagement,
mm-hmm.
and he's been photographed with two different models.
All right. I mean, he is with a porn star, so maybe she likes to entertain participants. And he's shopping around for the participants. I'm just saying. I'm just guessing.
How do you figure
this is just a guess.
Figure they bring their work home with them?
Yeah, generally, yes.
Did he? So did he have all these dates set up before he got to town, or is this just meeting people and you know?
I don't know.
He's on the streets of Miami, Joe. He's living his life. Let's not judge people doing that.
No.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't judge.
And he's engaged to a porn star. I mean. All bets
I'll tell
off.
You what, I wouldn't be shocked to see Ryan Garcia out on a date with
I gotta
Victor
tell
Bermudez
you, man.
In the next few days either.
You got
Victor's a big fan of his. Do you notice that?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
They got pictures hugging and stuff in the gym.
Hey,
they love each other.
You got to be very secure if you're going to date.
Yeah.
Date somebody who has sex for a living. God bless them.
Mm-hmm. More power to them.
Honey, how was the day today? Oh, I'm worn out. It's been a long-ass day, honey. All right.
Okay. I got one more for you guys here. We'll get back to all the other stuff going on. We haven't done this in a while. We haven't had an airport meltdown or a meltdown in public, you know, in a while. We did a lot of these when COVID was on.
Don't you think they're still going on, Woody?
I think people have calmed down since COVID. Like, I don't think the meltdown is as intense, but still, like, the airport, I think, is the one place that people really, really get fired up. Now, I did see they passed some, like, legislation or whatever that, like, airport, you know, airline companies have to start treating people like human beings.
Yeah.
And they can't screw you with fees, and they have to compensate you if they screw up your trip and all this different stuff. So, yeah, they basically have to, you know, treat you like you're a human. And so this woman, here you go, guys. I'll give you a little rant here at the airport when her flight got screwed up.
So get me the f*** up on the next flight, you mother f***. Or call Pete Buttigieg right now. Call that mother f***, Pete Buttigieg right now. That useless mother f***. Seriously, call Pete Buttigieg right now, the head of the TSA. Call that motherfucker right now. Get me up on the next flight. Get me up on the next motherfucker flight, seriously. And pay for that. Pay for that. I will call Pete Buttigieg right now. Call his.
Right here on your right hand side. No,
this is WestJet, not Delta.
I think you need to go over there.
Oh, you're the wrong terminal? You're the wrong terminal?
I think you're in the wrong place.
Oh, my God.
So that was real funny, MFing everybody.
Well, if you're at the end there, she was actually yelling at the wrong airline.
Yeah.
So she laughed. Said, I mean, that was a big.
She laughed and said to herself, rant, but... I'm a real dumbass. I'm one of the great ass clowns of all time.
By the way, Mayor Pete is the Secretary of Transportation. That's what she was screaming about getting on the horn there.
Boy, she threw a lot of MF bombs. Wow.
You like that?
Yeah.
The airport can do that to people, man. The airport is a tough
I got
place.
A feeling that she probably does that a lot. She sounded like a pro.
I think if you're going to go on a public tirade like that, you got to at least make sure you're aiming it at the right people. she's like,
that's a very good point, Woody.
She's like,
very
hey,
good point.
You know, this isn't Delta. This is whatever they say.
Yeah.
Delta's that way. Maybe let them have it.
Oh, boy. That's a... I get ready to fly home. That's good stuff right there, Woody.
Keep calm there, man. You'll end up on video.
Yeah. Don't worry. You have to worry.
You ever have a public meltdown, Omar?
I'm sure I have. Can't think
no,
of
it. No, you're fine on stuff, Omar. I don't see you like that.
Yeah.
I don't.
I can hold it together, Joe.
You got a lot of stuff going on to be worrying about that.
Absolutely do.
Yeah, there's no question. All right, hey, listen, we got a lot more stuff coming up here. Omar, you got any news for us? Anything coming up, man? You got for us when we come back?
Just a little announcement for the people.
I like that. I like when you have an announcement. By the way, we got to get back. We have a lot of stuff with the draft. Congratulations, maybe the best Heat win in the playoffs in the history.
Don't
of
do
that
it,
franchise.
Bro. Don't do it.
History.
Oh, history
he
playoff.
It. He did it.
Basketball, maybe.
You're a prisoner of the moment.
No, I'm not. I had a chance to think about this.
Overreaction Thursday?
I had a 45-minute drive to get here to where I'm staying.
I don't know, bro.
The Spurs comeback?
LeBron would like to offer a...
No, but it was LeBron. So that's the whole point. There was no LeBron or Dwayne Wade playing last night. That's part of the point. And Jimmy Butler was at home.
Okay.
And nobody gave him a chance, and they went on. And by the way, franchise record, 23 threes. That starts to get in the conversation. I understand there wasn't a lot of stars playing last night. That's what made it so impressive, a friggin' team win against a number one team, the number one team in the NBA record-wise. So I didn't just throw that out to get everybody rocking and rolling this morning. It's not about LeBron and D-Wade. I knew you guys were going to do that to me. I knew it. I knew you were going to do
the
that.
The Spurs win? The shot?
Well, who's on that team?
They won a championship, though.
We're talking about wins in a playoff last night
in fairness,
on the road.
The Heat have probably never been 14.5-point underdogs in a playoff game. I'm guessing they've never been anything close to that, to be honest.
Woody had it going. It was going to be a clean sweep.
I didn't think they had a shot yesterday. I didn't think they had a shot to win outright.
So, Woody, you just defend me. All right. Hey, listen, we've got
it's not in my nature to defend you, Joe.
No, it's not. It's a good point. Get him going. Get the old man going this morning again. Hey, I want to talk about something the old man has. I don't want anybody to have low T and ED. No. And some guys joke, and they come up to me now and go, hey, how's Atlantic Men's Clinic doing? I said, it's doing great, man. And I actually talked to the owners. I thanked them. They're in. I said, guys, thank you. Thank you, man. I didn't really want to go. I didn't really want to sit down with you guys, and I'm glad I did. So I was wrong, and you were right, because low T and ED can disappear. And if you have one, you probably have both. Low testosterone, tired all the time, moody, gaining weight. And listen, if you don't have energy to work out, you're going to gain weight, and don't sleep well. I was going through all of them. Go, well, this is part of being in the 60s. It's happening to guys in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and I tell all of them, you can get rid of it quickly. And if you have low T, you probably have no sex life either. And if that's the problem with ED, you can knock that out too, because they knocked it out for me, and we're going to do it for you. 7 months ago. Man, so when you see me, come on, go, Joe, I got to ask you about Atlantic Men's Clinic. Are you just saying that stuff? No, it works, and it's going to work for you since you brought it up, and you probably have a problem. You won't have a problem. It will be gone quickly. Let them do your lab work, have your results within 30 minutes. A Florida licensed medical provider will review your results with you and discuss your options, and you'll make the decision together with their medical team. Your initial visit includes medical consultation, a T, and a PSA test. And if you sign up for testosterone treatment the day of your appointment, your visit is free. 6 locations throughout South Florida. Yes, I go to the Plantation one, usually on Thursday or Friday. 877-455-7300. If you don't write the number down and you're just wondering, I kind of forgot that number, I want to get, go to AtlanticMensClinic.com. Find out the location closest to you and knock out ED and low T together.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.